Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Well, the Motley Crue movie is out. The Dirt is available on Netflix.
Finally.
And it is based on the band's book, The Dirt. Steve, you saw this.
I did. I saw it yesterday, and man, oh, man. I was very skeptical, obviously.
Yeah, you've been skeptical for a long time about this.
Because you're just like, how true are you going to be to the book? And I'm not much of a reader, but this is one of those instances where I'm like, you got to at least come close to how great the book is. The book is just, as a rock music fan, anyone who likes rock music or just stories of debauchery, the book is just perfect from beginning to end. So put it on, my wife and I watch it. And I'm like, this goes.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Right. So she likes Motley Crue-ish, but not like a huge fan. And I got to say, dude, it was way better than I expected. It's so good.
Wow.
And it's heartfelt. It's just messed up. It's kind of campy at times. It's got a little bit of everything, which is really what Motley Crue is. It's at times cartoony.
Yeah.
And it's at times really dark. I mean, super dark. They tackle Nikki's heroin stuff really well.
Wow.
And it's a fun watch, as odd as that sounds. But boy, I thought I was going to lose my wife. I'm not going to spoil anything, although it's a Motley Crue book, movie. If you read the book, you kind of have an idea of some of the stuff that's happening. They do tackle some of the scenes that I did not think they were going to tackle.
Wow.
They did not tackle the burrito scene, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because the movie starts off, first scene, and I thought I lost my wife instantly. There's a party going on, and Tommy, I believe it is doing something to a certain female.
Okay.
That causes her to do certain things.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, oh, okay, I see, yeah.
Right, yes. And they really show.
Okay.
They don't show that part, but they show.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, this is the opening scene to this movie. You've got me.
Yeah.
And I thought.
You've got me. Oh, God.
And I thought for sure my wife was going to be like, turn this off. I thought once that happened, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be watching this when she's not home.
Yes.
But she powered through that scene. And I mean, there's some parts where, you know, for her, she's not a fan of that kind of, you know, nudity and gratuitous stuff. And there's every once in a while a lot of boob shots.
Okay.
They don't hold back. But at the end of the movie, she looks at me and goes, that was a really good film. Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
So there are boob shots, so I can't watch this on the plane.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah,
oh,
you should. Damn, I was going to watch it on the plane figuring, well, what are they going to show? But I keep forgetting it's Netflix. They can
full
show.
Full on nudity, man.
Okay, never mind.
There's a lot of sex scenes.
All right.
Of Vince Neil having sex with people. It's
all right.
They captured the spirit of Motley Crue.
Okay.
Ozzy's in it, which was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, dude. I think you'll dig it. It's funny because, I mean, people are going to compare it to Bohemian Rhapsody. And it's a story about a band. So there's that vibe at times. But I was really impressed. At first, it was hard, though, to get past the fact that this is people playing the members of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Like the guy playing Nikki Sixx at first, I just wasn't buying it. But then as the movie went on, you started kind of accepting it. And then once he starts putting on the Nikki Sixx makeup, then you're like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Mick Mars, man, nails it. And
oh, he's a great actor, too. Vicky and I love that guy.
Dude, he has some of the comedic moments. Some of the best comedic moments come from that guy.
Yeah, he was
really well done.
How do you say his name, Vicky? Andrian?
Something like that.
Yeah, he played in Misfits. He's been in Game of Thrones as the bastard guy that got eaten by the wolves.
He played Hitler in a movie, too. So yeah. His range is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know, is the Ozzy pool scene in there? I almost lost my wife on that part, too.
Wow.
All right, I'm going to see if my wife is interested, because I can't remember if she was a Motley Crue fan or not, because my wife's a rocker. She's more rocky than I am, and I don't know if she knows about this movie, but we may watch it together. I know I'm going to watch it. Don't know if my wife is in, but if your wife is in, my wife is.
You don't need to be a Motley Crue fan to enjoy this.
All right, I'm going to see if I can get her to do it.
It's an insane story about a band that really went next level when it came to partying, unlike any other band. I mean, they really took it to a whole nother level, but at the end of the day, it's like it really centers around Nikki Sixx, and you start realizing how much of a family this band is for him, and that kind of comes throughout the film, and just kind of how they fell apart and got it all back together again.
That's cool, man.
They captured pretty much their entire musical career and summed it up in a 2-hour or so film. And did it well. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of skipping around. You kind of have to accept that. And I didn't walk into it like being like, it needs to be 100% true to the book and true to the story, because it's a movie. You know, you got to make it entertaining.
Well, but you're like giving it 2 thumbs up, huh, Siskel?
Yes.
Nice.
100%. Check it out.
All right, so that is the Dirt Motley Crue. 16 years in the making, and speaking of Nikki Sixx, he is talking about why it took those 16 years to finally get this done.
We didn't believe that you could tell the story of the band and sort of, you know, sanitize it. What we like about the movie is that you show these 4 individual characters that all come from unique and different backgrounds, and then we form this almost like a gang, and that becomes a family, especially in my case, coming from a family of divorce, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel that when you see the band become like this family unit, and then you see us start to fall apart because of our own bad decision making, you need to show that so that when we do get our lives together and we get back to that gang mentality, you know, the 4 of us, and we go on to have a very successful life. If you left out stuff that happened to each of us individually, it would just be another, it'd be a VH1 movie, you know? They did one with Def Leppard and Meatloaf, and that was fine. It just wasn't our vision. Our vision was always to be transparent.
And that was my fear, that it was going to be like the Def Leppard movie that VH1 did, where it was just completely cheeseball. And there were moments where I was almost getting nervous, and then they did something. I'm like, okay, that's good. I don't know how old Nikki Sixx is, but that interview that we have this from, man, I think he's like 60.
He looks great.
Yeah. Right. He's 60 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's close to my age. So he was born around the same time. I have to tell you something. I said that because I thought Nikki was a lot younger than me, but he's not. You know, guys that were born when we were born, there was a lot of S going down. I mean, there really was. You had a lot of parents from basically that were, you know, were just, you know, World War II was really still in their brain. There were a lot of there was harshness going on, a lot of drinking, a lot of self-medication from the parents that I grew up with in the neighborhoods I was around. So Nikki grew up like that. You know, Daryl Strawberry talks about that too. We were all the same age.
Yeah.
And it's great that Nikki's still alive, because a lot of folks we've lost that had problems with heroin, you know, their stories would be great if they were still alive to talk about it and get the origin story. It's not just people that wanted to party. There's a reason why you turn to drugs like heroin. You don't want to feel what you're feeling, which is a lot of bad stuff.
And they tackle his childhood in the movie as well, more so than anyone else. They gloss over everybody else, but really they focus on Nikki and his childhood because of just how bad it was. He kind of glosses over it in the interview, but it's pretty dark.
I mean, yeah, you know, we've had conversations with Duff McKagan. He's written stuff too, and you know, they all talk about, well, yeah, you know, growing up, some of the stuff we had to go through is why we partied the way we did, and also just didn't want to feel. It makes complete sense. In this clip, Nikki talks about this story about all the actors that played the members of Motley Crue.
It was really interesting. One night I went out to dinner with all the guys and
the actors.
With the actors, and me and Tommy were there, and 3 of the guys were going out and going to go out and do whatever, well, what we used to do. And the actor that plays Mick, I always say his name wrong. It's Ewan. He went back to the hotel, just like the band.
Isn't that funny? Apparently, they had the cast and the interviewers talk about how members, the guys playing the guys in Motley Crue, stayed in character even when the just throughout the movie, the filming of the movie.
Oh, that a lot of actors like to do that.
And Machine Gun Kelly plays Tommy Lee.
Yeah,
and at times it was very cartoony, but he really nailed it. I mean, because Tommy Lee's very cartoony.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm looking forward to this. It's again the Dirt. It's on Netflix. It started today, and Steve gives it two thumbs up, man.
Just a fun film. They really do a good job of having it be fun and silly, but then also tackle some serious stuff and do it well.
So finally, you saw, because people have been making comparisons with Bohemian Rhapsody and this, like you said. And I mean, the Freddie Mercury story, I think for a lot of us, is powerful because it was, you know, he was a guy that was at least bisexual, if not homosexual, you know, depending upon how he defined himself. But that wasn't easy to be that kind of person when Queen was big. And that's what I think made that a powerful story, and Molly Romick knocked it out of the park as Freddie. So what do you think? Some people are comparing it. How do you feel about the two movies? Is it a fair comparison, or are they
it's
really
a tough
two
comparison
things?
I think, because I mean, you had a movie where a guy won an Academy Award. Nobody's going to win an Academy Award for this one. It's a Netflix movie and they're not putting it in theaters, but it's a different vibe, and Molly Crew's a different story than the Queen story.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more of just next level insane partying and some messed up stuff. And so I enjoyed this movie more than the Queen movie, but I'm also a huge Motley Crue fan. So to be able to finally see this and have it not suck was really a win.
I feel like between Bohemian Rhapsody, The Dirt, and then Rocket Man that's going to be coming out.
The Elton John one?
Elton John one. I feel like we're kind of at this age where we're going to be getting a lot of these types of movies. Is there any one that you want a movie to be made
Metallica.
Of?
Ooh, yeah. 1,000% Metallica.
It is so weird to think that we are old enough that the movie, because they used to make movies about everybody that I never got to see live.
Yep.
You know, the Sammy Davis Jr. story or the Dean and Jerry story. You know, all the great performers back then, but those were my parents' performers. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know who these people are, but I heard about them so long or saw them on video. These are people we basically grew up with. We saw live. We were there when they started, and now they're old enough and we're old enough that they're making biopics about them.
My first concert was Motley Crue and their Girls Tour.
That's crazy.
And so it's kind of fun to be able to see even clips of them doing stuff with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Metallica for me, because it's just, they were a band that partied like crazy, had some crazy stuff go on in their early years. I mean, I would just love to see the recreation of just how they had to get rid of Dave Mustaine and all that stuff, and just the days of them sleeping on people's couches and then eventually becoming one of arguably the biggest rock band in the world.
And I feel like, have they done anything about Kiss? That's really official?
Yes, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that
one. Great film.
Yeah, that was a great biopic.
No, no, that would be an interesting one.
I would actually want to see that, because the more we get some statements about certain people about, I don't know if we're getting, if we'll ever get the full story. I would like to get the full story from everybody involved with the insanity that is Kiss. I would love to know that story.
Someone says I feel like that'd be have to be like a couple of films, because there's just been so many stages of Kiss.
Yeah, you're right.
But the early days, 100% agree with you. Somebody says the Eagles, all the conflict and drugs and all the stuff going on with the band with the changes. That would be great. Another one, Guns N' Roses. Y'all, early years, Guns N' Roses, too. That had to be on the level of Motley Crue.
And to get them back together, like to be able to see how that happened, because, I mean, that was something we pleaded so long and begged for so long.
That'd be funny, because it'll be like this movie. And they'll be like, you know how sometimes they say, like, 3 months later, but this will be 18 years later or something like that.
Yeah.
What about Danny? What do you want?
Green Day. I mean, because they've been such big influences on me, and like seeing them once again, kind of couch surfing, and then like to
the
see
the Berkeley days.
Yeah, and to see the mud fight of Woodstock and all of that kind of stuff. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. What about Rev?
It would be a really small movie, I think, but Typo Negative. I would just love to see their rise, and just the soundtrack would be outstanding.
Are you going
to
have the Playgirl or...
Oh, you have to do that. I mean,
Pete Steele showing his dong in a magazine.
It's one of the funniest stories ever, because he did Playgirl thinking that he would get a whole bunch of chicks,
and
not necessarily thinking that it's more for homosexual dudes.
More dudes started showing up to Typo Negative shows after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, but I mean, I'm with him. I didn't know Playgirl started being for guys. I had no clue when that happened.
Yeah, he didn't either.
Someone says, I'd like to see a Dave Grohl movie going from Nirvana to the Foo Fighters.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I feel like just a Nirvana movie would be a little too dark, too depressing, and just a lot of people are like, well, this happened, this didn't happen.
It's an interesting story, too.
Yeah, so I feel like Dave Grohl in general, between, you know, his Fresh Pots and everything, would be really fun.
Well, when you think about it, when you think about what Dave Grohl has become, considering the tragic end to Nirvana, really.
Yep.
I mean, and how he's, and not only that, but also become one of the happiest, seems like well-adjusted and great ambassadors of rock. It is, that is a great story, because if you told me the day we all found out that Kurt Cobain was no longer with us, and you told me Dave Grohl's going to go on and be this amazing, awesome, I would never have believed it. I would just go, no way this is going to happen.
I remember being really pumped when he jumped behind the drums with Tom Petty, and I'm like, oh, cool, man. He's got a new gig. That's awesome. Never thinking that eventually he's going to do his own thing and it would become a monster band.
A powerful story, and if it's already happened, I don't know of it. I think the Hendrix story would be something.
Someone even texted in saying they would love to see a Jimi Hendrix story.
I think, yeah, I mean, think about it. This is a black dude playing rock music at a time where, you know what, the people didn't really like African-Americans in the first place, let alone he's involved in a genre of music that really isn't what you'd expect, you know, his ethnicity to be involved with, and he just dominated. I mean, that would be an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there was like a documentary, but I don't know. Or somebody did
a
movie.
There was a Jimi Hendrix movie with Andre 5000 or whatever it is.
3000 from Outkast.
Yes.
Oh,
and
really?
That came out in 2013.
But I don't think it got, I don't think it was well received.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah. It kind of came and went.
Yeah.
Yeah. 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, but 37% of the audience liked it.
Oh. So it says the Seattle Big Four, a movie just about the music scene in that sense. That'd be pretty cool. There's been some cool documentaries. Yeah. Like Hype was a really good documentary about the Seattle music scene, but it really didn't focus on the four bands that really blew up and became mainstream rock acts.
Yeah. All right, 26% of the people, they have admitted one thing, that they, like Vicky, make drunken purchases. Yeah. What is the number one thing purchased? I'm going to tell you at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
0.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Okay, so Vicky is a self-admitted drunken purchaser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got two new studies on our drunken shopping habits. Well, one looked at all the stuff we buy, and the other one focused on food. We've got seven stats on how we shop and eat when we're drunk. I have an addiction of right now to board games, and I'm not drunk doing it.
See, that's my problem. I'm making a lot of stupid purchases, but I'm not drunk. I have no excuse.
Yeah.
I'm just on my couch, and sometimes I'm bored because like my wife might be asleep on my lap, and I just don't, like, TV's not doing anything for me. So then I just start falling into that rabbit hole of online shopping. Like, I just got myself a red sequined jacket.
Yes!
A bedazzled sequined jacket.
Why'd you get that?
For my wrestling career.
Oh, well,
there,
of course.
BJ.
You
for that.
Yes!
All right, okay. You know, now I'm the verified champion.
Yeah.
I need to step up from the denim jacket to a nice, shiny sequins jacket that's red.
Oh my God, you really are going full. You're going full wrestle.
It's downstairs. It's in my car. I have to still try it on because it came from China. So I had to make sure I bought it like a couple extra sizes too big. So I hope it fits.
I remember when you bought some football jerseys from China. Boy, those were amazing.
Well, sometimes they got the wrong player's name on the back of the jersey, but you know, you do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do.
So you can see that this Sunday at Without a Cause Wrestling.
You're gonna be rocking the sequins.
Well, if I'm not, that means it didn't fit.
Okay.
So Nirmana Lodge Everett this Sunday at 4 p.m.
So Lulu will have a new jacket. If it's too big, will you wear it?
Oh.
You gotta wear it if it's too big.
No, it's gotta fit right.
Oh boy.
No, I'm not gonna try. Dude, I'm a very serious champion here.
I didn't know you were a serious champion. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
Is very important.
Thank you, Vicky.
Yes.
He's a sartorially serious guy. I had no idea.
I could try and run downstairs and grab it during a break.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Okay.
You gotta do a video of you. We gotta try it on, see what it looks like.
Oh, the big unveiling.
Yeah. So 26% of us admit, we buy stuff we wouldn't just because we've been drinking.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually way down from last year because almost half of us did last year. Damn.
See,
I'm trying not to spend and buy so much on, you know, online anymore. And a lot of it is because I haven't been drinking, so I've been doing pretty good. But I keep getting ads like, hey, this thing on your wish list, it's on sale now. And I've gone like five ads in probably 12 hours.
See, yeah, this
they're
is
get,
the
trying.
Ads are what get you now that they target you.
Yeah.
And they hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I think I'm spreading goodwill because Vicky's getting back into board games. She's missed about 5 to 6 years of what's happened.
Ooh.
So we played a game and I said, oh, I know, Vicky, you'd love this. And they didn't have one to actually play. So they go, oh, we'll open a copy and we'll make it a demo. But I felt bad because it was like they didn't have any copies on the shelf. So I ended up buying it for Vicky. Well, it's for Vicky. But, you know, they drop board games on the floor and they go, ah, now the box is damaged. We're going to have to sell it for 40% off. And I'm like, okay, Zulus. I mean, of course I have to buy it now. It's 40% off.
Yeah. Do you guys remember your last drunk purchase?
I remember my last dumb purchase, like when you're about to fall asleep and you're half awake.
It was Crystal. She was on the main stage.
Touché.
That's actually, I mean, that's probably my last dumb purchase.
My last drunk.
Giving my ATM card to a stripper. That was probably, I was trashed.
I mean, I came close to buying a Coca-Cola shirt that was written in...
I remember
it
that.
It was in Arabic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
One in Japanese and one in Arabic.
You almost had it. I thought for sure you were buying.
I had it in my hand.
Yeah.
And was walking to the... like, they had all the Coca-Cola logos in all these different fonts.
And I was
like,
so... Sure. And I liked it. I was like, Steve's making... He's going to buy something I suggested.
That was in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So we went to Vegas together.
And then he just looked... I remember the look in your face, like...
It was because someone was in line ahead of me, and I'm waiting, and then there was a moment of clarity or sobriety for a second. I'm like, when am I going to really wear this? It's a red shirt. If it was a black shirt, I would have done it.
Yep.
That was the only reason why I didn't do it, is because it was a bright red shirt.
I mean, fair point. Mine was the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Nice.
On Amazon. I was like, I don't have that movie. I need that movie, so I bought it.
Nothing wrong with that. The Knuckle Puck is strong.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You bought the trilogy, though.
The trilogy. I had to have all three movies.
Yeah.
Did stop BJ from a drunken purchase while we were in Vegas that same trip. Remember when you wanted...
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
You wanted to pay to get 3D printings of you and me and Chris.
Yeah.
And now they were like $180 a printing, like to make a little like 7-inch tall action or figure of yourself via 3D printing.
I got a new thing I want to do, and actually I don't know if this is for public news, but would somebody we know made a pop figure for somebody that they know?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it on Facebook somewhere, but I don't know if it's private or whatever, so I'm not going to say anybody's name.
Is it the one for me?
No. Oh, someone's making one for you?
We've had this conversation.
I totally forgot if someone's making one for you.
I already have it. The pop figure. You looked at it. You go, dude, that's so cool.
Oh, you have it? I thought it hadn't been made yet. Oh, you have it in your possession?
What, home? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you have it at home. Oh, see, I want to make one for everybody.
Oh, okay, yeah. That guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that. I didn't realize that was made yet.
At Davey Painting on Instagram. He's the guy who made that.
I thought that was like a CGI mock-up. That's real. That exists.
Yeah, and then I made the little verified championship belt to go with him. It's on my Instagram page, at I'm Steve Miggs.
You can see it. Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
That looks awesome.
And what he does is, like, so you send him your ideas, and then he finds a pop that kind of resembles those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's like, oh, with the outfit that you have, it's AJ Styles wore a similar outfit, but I could paint the colors so it fits what your thing is. And then he's like, I'll melt off his fingers because his fingers are pointing, and I don't want it pointing. So then he uses, like, epoxy to fix it all up. But there's a lot of people that do this. It's not just him, but people do these custom pops. And
yeah, I saw somebody we know just had one done for their significant other.
Yes.
Yeah, but I
don't know if we should talk. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
I'm not going to talk about
it. I don't know how public that is.
Exactly. That's why I don't know either, but it looked amazing.
It did a really good job.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I would like to get some for the whole show.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much that costs. I got to go talk to the person that had that done and go, hey. Or well, you know, I mean, maybe your guy could, well, maybe find out how much it costs your guy that did yours, and maybe he'll do some for the show.
Oh, dude, no, he'll do it if you pay him.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Like, I have to find out how much it is, but see, that's a sober purchase. I'm not even drunk. Why am I making...
Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper than the 3D printing, but it's not, it's like about $80, I think. This guy charges
$80. All right, maybe I'll just get one of me.
Yeah, good call.
Sorry, Danny. Sorry, Vicky.
Sorry, Rev. That's all right.
Damn.
It would be nice to have a pop of our family, though. I wonder if Kathy would dig that if I got one of the four of us. Though, Kathy, me,
Joey,
and Sarah.
I got really excited because I'm like, we're your family.
No, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Oh.
But when you make the one of Vicky have a dagger going right through it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what you just did to her.
Yeah. Just in my back, man.
Here's what we buy when we're drunk: the unnecessary things, food.
Yeah.
Well, when is food unnecessary?
Sort of order when you're like, oh, I'm too lazy to either cook or go out and do something, so I'm going to spend $25 on a $7 order.
Or even when you've been drinking, you get the Uber to take you to a fast food place. Normally you'd get one meal, but that is the one time you're like, I want the nuggets and the extra fries and a burger and a shake.
I
and
can
you
see
just
that.
Need all of it.
Do you offer to buy something for the driver
always.
As well?
Okay, oh, so yeah. Flying by. Yeah.
I mean, I've never been guilty of paying a taxi driver to take a group of us to White Castle.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic.
Take us back.
Yeah.
Get a briefcase of burgers.
How about clothes? Anybody go crazy on the clothes? Because that's another thing that people buy drunk.
I did, like, I think the dumbest one that I did, the drunk purchase, were those slippers, the house shoes that I got.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I thought would look like sneakers. And then I wore them on Live Day this last year, and they did not. They didn't look like sneakers at all.
They were funny, though.
Yeah, they look like big baby booties.
I love those.
So he says, my last drunk purchase was a 4-pound bag of mini marshmallows for my Lucky Charms.
Nice!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can just buy the actual little marshmallows, and I've been tempted to do that for my brother's stocking for Christmas one year.
Oh, please do that for mine. I love the Lucky Charms marshmallows, and I never thought the distribution was fair.
Somebody bought a $275 koi fish from my pond, and I don't remember it. I didn't remember it until it arrived at my door.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
That's legit if you got a koi fish in your pond, but I don't know if you can make it. I don't know if they can survive with you, sir. Hopefully they can.
Somebody said my coworker woke up with a $3 charge on his car. It turned out he bought a wiener dog from some Asian country.
A $3 wiener dog?
Like an actual wiener dog?
I don't know, but $3?
Wow.
Or maybe they forgot a zero and it was $3,000.
Yeah,
that's
gotta be what it is, yeah.
Because that's a comma or a period.
That's a good price. I mean, that's a good price for any dog. If you
I think it was $3,000.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Zero.
That's
yeah.
a lot worse.
Yeah. Cigarettes. People buying a lot of cigarettes when they're drunk.
That
yeah, because people only smoke when they're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I forgot that phenomenon. Lottery tickets and online gambling. How many? Yeah.
No, I do that sober.
I played Hold'em at one of the casinos around here and lost $500 in about 15 minutes because I was drinking. And I said, that is the last time I get in a happy mood and think I'm going to win a lot of money at the poker table.
Was that the time when I actually ended up winning big and having to pay for you and the other people we were with their buffet?
I
ended up like 750 or something. I was like, don't worry, guys. I got buffet this time. I felt like such a baller.
I mean, roundabout way, BJ did pay for it.
I know, right?
Oh, man, it was such a beating.
It was between you and another drunk guy, and he just had your number.
Yeah, oh, it was bad. Movies, DVDs, Danny, that's what people like to drunk buy.
Yeah.
And Danny, favorite drunk foods are?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah. Chips, fries, nachos, and tacos.
What about, like, ice cream products? Like, you know, shakes and McFlurries. And
see, usually, I mean, it's funny. People don't like super sweet sometimes when they're drinking.
I don't think it's sweet. I just think dairy. Because depending on how long ago you drank, it mixes with
call.
The booze. Yeah. It's not going to be a good time.
See, when I'm wasted, I want my night to end with something that's cold and...
And you can
delicious.
Live with it. And you can live with it. Like, the dairy doesn't bother you after you're getting trashed. Good for you.
That I know of.
Yeah.
Oh, probably wake up in the morning not feeling all that hot and never really put two and two together.
Yeah, that could be it. And the top foods that we think taste better when we're drunk are pizza. So is pizza, is that the problem? Do we think pizza's really good because we've been drinking? And
well,
and
what do you think? Well, yesterday we were all sober and pizza was fantastic.
I know. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, that's, yeah. And I don't know if it was, I was really hungry too. So I think anything would have tasted, the pizza container would have tasted good.
But like that greasy, oily pizza.
Oh, right.
I remember before my wife became a vegan and we went to New York to see family and go see the band The Hold Steady in Brooklyn. And after the show was over, we had a few drinks and we're like, let's go get some pizza. And we walked by this pizza place that had like a sign, like they won an award for best drunk pizza in New York.
Nice.
It's like, let's go in there. And then, of course, the big fat slices. And when you fold it, the oil's dripping or the grease.
Yeah.
And dude, there was nothing more better. Nothing more better.
Nothing more better.
More better.
Yeah. English good. It was amazing.
Yeah. You know what I think it is about pizza is that you have a mental block because everyone tells you it's so unhealthy. So the minute your inhibitions are down, you're like, I'm going to eat all the pizza in the world right now.
In Plattsburgh, there was a place, and it's still there. It's called Pizza Bono. And I don't think they made money during the day or regular evening. I think they made all their money at 1 a.m. and beyond. Like they would stay open until people would leave.
Oh, good idea.
And their big signature, and I don't know if you guys have ever tried this, and honestly, it sounds disgusting until I tried it, and I was like, this is the greatest thing. And I think it was because we were drunk, but maybe it's awesome sober. They call it cold cheese pizza. You get a slice, it's warm, the regular slice, and then they top it with like a handful of just the cold cheese that you use to make the pizza, and just throw it on there. So now you get like a mound of cold cheese on top of the pizza that's slowly melting a little bit.
So it's mozzarella that they throw.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds, I mean, I love cold mozzarella. That sounds like a great idea.
It's super healthy and everything too.
I mean, who doesn't go at 3 o'clock in the morning, sober or not, and just like pounding cheese out of the bag like some sort of animal.
Again, that's like Steve said, the oils, the fats.
Yeah,
that's sucking that all up. That makes a lot of sense.
So he says, I eat pizza sober all the time. Pizza's good because pizza's good. From Pete, from Luigi's.
Yeah. We love fast food. We love chicken wings. We love chips and fries when we be trashed.
And one look at Dick's. On like a Saturday night or a Friday night at like around midnight.
Mm-hmm.
The lines on all of them are ridiculous.
The best part of ECCC, Emerald City Comic Con, one of the best parts is when our buddies came back with Dick's.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, we're going to go get some Dick's still. I'm like, really?
You must have lost a lot of games then if that was the best part.
Dude, I mean, you don't expect to get that kind of quality at, you know, at Comic Con because you get the, you know, get the Washington State Convention Center and you know, you're stuck with whatever's around there and there's lines everywhere so you really can't get food. But to get Dick's, they went and traveled for us.
Oh, it was so good.
So he says, the Hoff proved that burgers are great when you're drunk.
Oh, he sure did.
Oh, forgot about that video.
Yeah, that's the greatest video. That's the greatest
him
video
on the floor
world.
Eating a hamburger.
That was awesome.
And was it his daughter that filmed it?
Yeah.
So great.
He was so happy, too, until he realized it was all over the internet. Yesterday, Steve, he got this one wrong.
What 20th century conflict was dubbed the Forgotten War?
Ooh, the War of 1812.
No.
Space Wars.
No.
Space
Vietnam.
Wars.
No.
No, and it's funny, I talked about it yesterday, they made an entire TV show, one of the most popular situation comedies ever, and it is on this war, and that was MASH about the Korean War. You want a shot at being Steve? All right, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.